Blog Talk Radio. Well, well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High. We're back again for another episode. Yes, indeed, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edemiah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity to be back with you here again, speak these very precious words which the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. And I thank the Most High, my brothers and sisters, surely I do. I thank the Most High that He has told me that I have for Him some very important things for Him that I must do. I thank Him for the opportunity to be able to share them, to be able to share them with you. And I thank the Most High for every ear. Yes, I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all for listening. My brothers and sisters, the Most High has told me, yes, He's told me directly, that I have Him some very important things for Him that I must do. And He told me because of what I must do, He said to me that I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him, that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection. I said His protection and His guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could to hide, deny, pervert, silence, and destroy our brothers and sisters since the world began, since the fall of mankind. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's time that we understand then that since the fall of man, the institutions, after the constructs of men, have all in so many ways been institutions to blind and block the minds. I said to blind and to block the minds, not to discern what the Most High has declared. I said to block the minds, not to discern, to be able to declare and preserve what is true to the only hope of salvation, only plan that the Most High has given, whereby men might be made whole, might be delivered, might be found steadfast unto Him. Well, like I said, all the institutions of this world in so many ways have been blocks, obstacles against men discerning that pure and perfect initial plan the Most High foreswore is necessary. I said the Most High foreswore is absolutely necessary that His people unto Him be preserved. And my brothers and sisters, that they should be awake beyond all worldly misexploitation. There is much scripture that talks about putting upon ourselves the whole armor. Well, my brothers and sisters, the whole armor is the whole word. That you might not fall so quickly victimized after the wiles of those who declare deviant, perverse, polluted standards. We were warned. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we were warned. I said, my brothers and sisters, we were warned not, I repeat, not to fall victim. Those who would in any way misrepresent the will of the One Most High. Blessed are they who will understand this. Blessed are they who will understand the mutual responsibility of all Israel. I said, blessed are they who will understand what is the mutual responsibility. I said, the mutual responsibility of all Israel to maintain a pure and perfect word. First command declares, Hear, O Israel, Most High is one. You shall have no other gods but He. In other words, the absolute conscience you follow is not many. It's not divided. It's not polluted. It's not tainted in any way. It's not corrupted. It's not compromised. It is one, meaning it is the pure, perfect will of the Most High, and nothing less is a covenant to the people of Yah. Nothing else, nothing less is a covenant acceptable. I said nothing less, my brothers and sisters, a covenant acceptable unto the one Most High. Or dare men believe that a multitude of partial standards and polluted standards according to the will of men satisfies the will of the one Yah? I put a very powerful statement up, my brothers and sisters, as the intro title to tonight's show. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, Most High said that He is one. We should have no other gods, no other ruler, but He. I'll even go as far as to tell you, my brothers and sisters, what this scripture means is that nobody has a right to rule, but that He be true to the will of the one Most High. I repeat, nobody has a right to rule, but that He be true unto the will of the one Most High. I think about scriptures like those at 1 Corinthians 4. The apostle said that they are to be regarded, did you hear my brothers and sisters? That they are to be regarded as stewards. Those who should be caretakers, preservers. Very purpose is to maintain and preserve the truth of divine command. All Israel, Most High said to His people, the secret things belong to the Most High, but those things which He has revealed belong to us and to our children forever, lest unto us, I hope you understand this, the greater truth become a secret. We're already told that in the latter days, these secretive things, things that man has hidden from himself, will be brought to remembrance. The question, my brothers and sisters, how many understand that the expectation of all that of which the people of the Most High have been left blind, my brothers and sisters, must be restored? It's the expectation of all His people to prepare for that great day of the revelation of a greater light. And whether or not men are willing to seek the fullness of that light will decide whether they are the children of light or the children of darkness. Much, my brothers and sisters, concerning this to say, much, my brothers and sisters, concerning this, it needs to be examined again by our people. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a premise that the scripture said in advance that the rulers would not preach and they could not preach it. The scripture calls it the gospel, which basically means that what a lot of folks think is the gospel today is far from it. Not at all, my brothers and sisters, discerning what the Most High calls, in fact, in all things acceptable. The gospel is the whole pure, perfect word. What is that whole word? Is it just simply words learned by rote? My brothers and sisters, the Most High told me to know what is said and not know why it is said, even relative to all else that He has said. That is not wisdom at all. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's much interconnectivity in the scriptures that most have not even begun to consider. And my brothers and sisters, that fact is very much to our shame. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that it's time we consider. There's a commandment that the Most High gave that most have not even realized was a command. Mentioned in the book of Genesis 49:10, it is every bit as potent for those who will understand it as the first commandment, saying that we should have no other god, no other ruler, no other standard, no other sense of righteousness but that of Yah Himself. Command that says you should not make for yourself, let's put it this way, any concept of deity after the creation of a carnal mind. Should not make for yourself any graven image of anything in heaven above, earth below. All my brothers and sisters, what those commandments are actually saying is that the imaginings of man are not capable of making a savior. The very imaginings of man are not capable of bringing a people to a fullness in the will of one. Most High have always said then to his people, since they are not to take his name or bow his name after any fallen standard or any vanity. My brothers and sisters, we must understand then what it meant according to the Abrahamic covenant, that Abraham was supposed to bring forth children, not after the flesh. I said Abraham was supposed to bring forth children, not after the flesh, but seeking the perfect will of Yah after the Spirit. And a constant desire on the part of all to discern beyond their carnality, beyond what merely seems wise to the flesh, of brothers and sisters, was supposed to be a matter of man having his heart open to preserve the blessedness of a covenant, being willing to receive whenever the Most High reminds man of so much that he so easily, in his self-righteousness and his pride, forgets. But how many of us, my brothers and sisters, are prepared to understand that? How many of my brothers and sisters are prepared to understand what Messiah meant when he said, when it was prophesied of him in advance, that he would come saying, the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek? Those who are prideful after the various standards of this world will not be prepared to understand this. And the words that I'm speaking to you now are precious. They're rare, but they are only for the most humble soul. For only the most humble soul, my brothers and sisters, will seek the righteousness of Yah, the fullness of the righteousness of Yah, beyond seeking to be justified by any lesser standard, even if it means that he has to recognize how he himself, man himself, has fallen short. But that, my brothers and sisters, is not a carnal perspective. It is a spiritual one. Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things. No lie in it, bringing all things to remembrance. Most High said that he is one. We must all remember all the fullness that he declares unto us, that we all may agree. He said that he is one. We must love him with all our minds, heart, soul, and might. If we don't know fully what he is, we must seek him with all our minds, heart, souls, and might. This we must do, my brothers and sisters, to be a good example, even unto the preservation of the nation, to love Most High with all our minds, heart, soul, and might. Seek to obey him, seek him, seek to be the best example we can be. This is the love of Yah and the love of our brethren. We live in a society today that says the love of the brethren is the love of what? Every possible differing, deviant ideal that has touched the hearts of men. My brothers and sisters, if you love what keeps your brother in bondage, if you lust after and uphold whatever it is that keeps your brother in bondage, self-righteous, then you, my brothers and sisters, are complicit. A curse upon your brother, and also a curse upon yourselves. That might sound like a hard word. It's not what everybody wants to hear. But the Most High told me that I have some important things to say to you. Words he's given me. He said they're very precious words, my brothers and sisters. Again, only for the most humble soul. He said because of what I would say then, he said a lot of folks would become enemies, my enemies, approve themselves my enemies. My brothers and sisters, the wisest, the most rational soul will recognize that I speak these words out of love to bring forth indeed what the Most High calls peace. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. I want you to think about it. We've talked before about the idea that in the Shabbat, some of you may perhaps on the West Coast might still be, some parts of the country still is in the midst of the latter hour of Shabbat. For those who I didn't speak it to last evening, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. May it be, my brothers and sisters, that we understand the Shabbat was a command. Keep all that is the pure, perfect will of the Most High. Nothing, that nothing be lost. For we speak a multitude of different doctrines in the Shabbat. Have we kept the day holy? Have we kept the holy covenant at all? My brothers and sisters, the Most High's first command said we all must seek him, even according to the fullness of all that is his will. Multitude of partial standards he is not. His very name declares he is all and everything that he is. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. It's time we understand the real. Because truthfully, my brothers and sisters, one time Most High told me years ago, he said these words to me, that none has a right to rule but by him. In fact, my brothers and sisters, we are not free if we allow others to rule over here, over us, other than Yah. If we don't desire righteous rule, fully all that is righteous rule, we have denied a covenant with the Most High. We have blasphemously disrespected him. If at any time we are granted the opportunity to see the greater truths and we choose to reject it, we have not only blasphemously insulted the Most High, but also, my brothers and sisters, we have left our brothers. We left our brothers and sisters in so many ways, still yet in bondage. We were told, my brothers and sisters, quite frankly, in so many ways, Yah expects every ruling steward, as it says in 1 Corinthians 4, to be faithful. So must all the people seek the fullness of all that is divinely required, even till Messiah comes to reveal all the hidden things. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 4, then shall every man. How about this, my brothers and sisters, relative to the scriptures where a lot of this came from? Isaiah 40 through 45, then shall every man, how about this, at last see eye to eye, knowing, in fact, what is the praise, what is honorable before Yah. Discerning all the things, my brothers and sisters, that men have hidden from himself. For this is the gift of the Spirit. And only a people, my brothers and sisters, who exercise in that power of remembrance and restoration and refreshing have a covenant with the Most High. Or dare men say that any of the institutions after which they are presently involved, dare men say, my brothers and sisters, that any of them has been a complete restoration of a covenant? I would beg to differ, my brothers and sisters, because all prophecy tells us that in the latter days it should be discerned that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, fallen short of knowledge of what is in conscience honorable before the Most High. And for that reason, Messiah himself must appear. I said, for that reason, Messiah must be sent into the earth to restore man's concept of righteousness. In fact, the scripture said he would reprove all your leaders, that it be discerned that there's only one righteousness in the earth, even the righteousness of Yah. He said he would reprove all your leaders, wherever it is they have fallen short. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, to this day, they have fulfilled the prophecy, but these types of truths they would not speak. And that's exactly what the scripture said in advance they would do. They would hide, deny, and pervert, to silence these truths. But my brothers and sisters, this refreshing must be. In fact, quite frankly, scripture talks about a time where it was called the times of refreshing. I repeat, what is called the times of refreshing are written of, for instance, in Isaiah 28, written of also, my brothers and sisters, in Acts 3:18-23. Times of refreshing, times of remembrance of all things. What is this all things? I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, it is the gospel, because the gospel is not part of the word. It's the whole word, the word of the gospel. It talks about the gospel of peace. It relates to pure, perfect, complete word of Yah. That which is attainable not after the flesh, but only by the Spirit. That which is discerned not after the flesh, but only by the Spirit, my brothers and sisters. This spiritual people must as one be guided by. I ask a question. Shall men say they have remembrance with Yah? Were Messiah to appear and they refuse to receive a word beyond their rulers? Messiah told men 2,000 years ago Go ye forth and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to do everything you command. Convert all nations. Teach them to do everything you command. The nation did not by any means know all his commands. The nations didn't by any means know the fullness of what is the Most High has spoken to his people Israel. They were told to convert because the standards among the nations are both partial and incomplete, not a covenant. A multitude of partial standards cannot be peace. If everybody choose to examine and supposedly reveal rule, but according to their own designs, there will always be contentions. There will be no peace. There will be no salvation. There will be no harmony among men. And my brothers and sisters, such thinking is by no means a covenant of peace. And that is by no means an agreement with Yah. Most I told all his people to do the same. He told them they must all seek him with all their minds, heart, soul, and mind. This we do out of a mutual love for one another. Because he already told his people that if they did not do this, they'd be cast off the land among the nations. And my brothers and sisters, to this very day, men have not returned. Israel has not fully returned to the covenant, the purity of the covenant Most High gave when he brought his people out of Egypt. Because in similarity, my brothers and sisters, people of the Most High who call themselves believers under variant rulers, contentious rulers, amidst all nations. How can they have a covenant with one Most High according to a multitude of partial standards? It simply is not possible. And without a covenant, my brothers and sisters, without that word that exceeds all the nations, that is the gospel, our people are vastly misled. So men say they are faithful to the Most High, my brothers and sisters, on a multitude of fallen, false, foolish, deceptive rulers, who even declare under their rule it illegal to seek the greater truth of the Most High. Is it a covenant with Yahweh, brothers and sisters, that men continually rebel against the will of the one Most High? Because they've sworn allegiance among the Gentile nations. So men say they have a covenant with Yahweh, my brothers and sisters, defiant against the required expectation of an exceeding truth to be restored. As if to say that, what, after any one of 45,000 denominations, that people are true to the will of one simply doesn't make sense. Doesn't make any sense at all. As I said before, Most I told him long ago that nobody has a right to rule, but that they be true unto Yah. The Apostle Shaul said that a steward is commissioned to be faithful. The earth still belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof. So I have to ask the question, if you're under rulerships that establish constitutions, call an infirmity, even lawful, then all must be subject to hypocritical rulers who themselves are not honorable and true, or the Most High has declared, even though they put their hands upon a Bible and be sworn into office. My brothers and sisters, if we are not wise, seek beyond this hypocrisy. Have we been true to a covenant? It's the duty of all Israel, my brothers and sisters, to seek the fullness of what is divine will, even the expectation that all should walk in righteousness. Let me explain something to you with this regard. Because my brothers and sisters, are we spiritually free? Are we under religious freedom? if we are mandated to uphold rules in total defiance against what the Most High Himself declared, men redefining even what is a covenant for the Most High, I think, my brothers and sisters, the time has come we must reconsider where we've been compelled under the worldly status quo to think. Like I said, none has a right to rule but by Yah. Yah expects every ruling steward to be faithful, till even till Messiah comes to reveal all the hidden things. Who, my brothers and sisters, will not understand why? Scripture says in Revelation 6, when Messiah comes, the kings will be running, the rulers will be running for cover, saying, hide us from the face of the Lamb, and he will sit upon the throne. Isaiah 24 talks about it because the people will recognize the rulers have been very treacherous against the covenant. Have not taught the people what they should have been taught. Malachi talked about that. Partial in the law. It says, humiliate them all. That does not mean they will be exalted. It's time we understand far better, my brothers and sisters, than what has been common to men. Isaiah 41, Malachi 3, all these scriptures talk about Messiah exposing as foolish, fallen, deceitful, insufficient, stands as the rulers in this world, who have, in so many ways, made alliances, one with another, while none of them has sought to be in all things before Yah, true. Like I said, you truly have religious freedom in a society that is mandated against full righteous absolution that's contained in the scriptures. They dare to say that many scriptures are obscure to get out of having to deal with the responsibility to preserve and maintain them. My brothers and sisters, if a leader says that the words of scripture are so obscure that he cannot make a righteous judgment regarding to that rule, or that he cannot declare reverence, respectful of that rule, what type of guidance do you think he has, if he has any at all? Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that keeps the scriptures, the word of the scriptures, a thing after which men, though they read them, do not understand them? Most time, my brothers and sisters, gives his spirit that his people might agree as one. And I can only tell you, all that is required for man to be left blind is simply that the Most High does not open the eyes. Most High told me that many years ago. So all that is required, if there were no devil, is a man be left without the discipline of the Most High. Who is willing to understand that? For nobody, my brothers and sisters, attains to what is called overcoming the world, gaining victory over all the misconceits of this world and all the fallen standards of this world. Nobody gains that power, my brothers and sisters, or attains to such strength, such spiritual strength, but by the Spirit the Most High himself has to grant. So we ask the question, my brothers and sisters, if they tell you that the Spirit of the Most High must be constrained after the variant rulers of men, what Scripture says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If they tell you that the Spirit of the Most High must be constrained after the rulership of men, haven't they forsworn you to damnation? Look at the word damnation. It means the same thing as divided. If they forsworn you that you have to uphold a pluralist system that cannot be true to the will of one, and the Scripture says a double-minded man, a double-minded people, double-minded nation, a double-minded world is unstable, how should me and my brothers and sisters say that they are worthy to receive anything from the Most High, any blessing from the Most High, while men refuse to uphold what is necessary, even to preserve, if you want to put it that way, the biosphere in which he lives? Something is desperately wrong, my brothers and sisters. Most High did not say that he'd be pleased for the people who refuse to conform to his desire. Remember, my brothers and sisters, the Most High created the world, and he knows what is necessary for this world to bring forth its ultimate potential. Men may not discern the way of peace. My brothers and sisters, there's no other way, no other plan by which this world might be optimized unto what is acceptable before the Most High. I ask the question, if people don't expect their leaders to be true to the law of the Most High, how shall they be a people acceptable to the Most High? If people do not expect their leaders to be true to the law of the one Most High, the scripture says the Messiah comes to preach the gospel. What does the scripture say? Behold my servant, my elect, and my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. Spirit that brings all things to remembrance. No lie in it. I put my spirit upon him. He should bring forth what is just, what is righteous. How about fulfilling all things acceptable unto Yah? And I shall wait for his law. If they don't tell you to expect a lawgiver beyond all the rulers, haven't they imprisoned your mind? If they don't tell you not to expect in the churches a lawgiver beyond your pastors, priests, rabbis, according to your choice. Haven't they already shut down your mind and you willingly allowed it? I think about Genesis 49:10. In your King James Version, it pretty much reads like this. The scepter, in this case, my brothers and sisters, Israel, father of the 12 tribes, was speaking to his sons. In this particular case, he was speaking to the tribe of Judah. And he spoke to them in this wise, at least this way it's translated in your King James Version. And we really need to understand the implications of these verses in order to understand them well. But I'll just go ahead and tell you what's written down there initially in your King James Version. But we need to look at this further in terms of its implication. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that the way this has been translated is by no means fully efficient relative to everything else said in the scriptures concerning the coming of the one who is to bring peace. The covenant expectation, my brothers and sisters, is what this is talking about. It is a command, even a covenant unto all Israel, that there be a constant expectation of a righteous scepter. And I hope you understand what I'm saying when I say this. Not just that you expect a righteous scepter in the last days, but you should always expect to be governed according to the fullness of divine righteousness. And if not, you've already given up on the hope. You should certainly always expect the coming of a righteous king, the righteous covenant expectation of a righteous scepter, a righteous king, a righteous ruler, a righteous standard from on high. Should not depart from Judah. How about this? There should be always the expectation of a true lawgiver. Get my point. The law of the Most High is not split after the devices of men. Law of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, is all that it is. You break the law, you broke the peace. You broke the order. It means the expectation of a lawgiver. What the scripture says, the eye shall wait for his law. It says, put his spirit upon him. How about to bring all remembrance of all the law and the prophets? How about the expectation of a true lawgiver who brings remembrance of all things the Most High spoke by the mouth of his prophets since world began, according to Acts 3:18-23. How about expectation of a lawgiver? They put down the word down there for, they put down between his feet. But the word down there is bani, ben, if you will. You need to look at it, my brothers and sisters. What it means, there shall always be the expectation of Judah of a lawgiver from among his sons. A lawgiver, my brothers and sisters,
to have, hear me, under his feet, dominion. How about dominion over the nations? What does the scripture say in Isaiah? What does it say in Isaiah, my brothers and sisters? How beautiful over the mountains are the feet, meaning the dominion. How beautiful over the mountains, mountains symbolic of nations, is the feet of him who preaches glad tidings. How about a law, my brothers and sisters, the fullness of the holy word, pure and complete after Yah. That's what the gospel is. He said, go forth and teach the gospel to all the nations, the rule of the Messiah beyond all the nations. Convert the nation. Teach them to do everything he commands. That means there should always be the expectation of a true lawgiver from among the sons of Judah. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, I would even for us to say that anybody who would believe must constantly expect righteous rule. He said, until Shiloh, how about the King of Kings, Shashan Shah, the one that is called the Kurdi. Don't know what I'm talking about? Please examine my website, hiddengospel.com, article called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. You will find the word they use, Christ, was a contrivance, a Greco-Roman word, that you remain subject to a multitude of diverse rulers without a covenant. For if you confess the concept of Messiah after all the diverse standards of the nations, how shall the people of the Most High have a covenant at all? But those who understood the concept of the one called the Kurdi know that they must expect one who declares righteousness beyond all the rulers, that he will declare the one throne, even the righteous rule of Yah himself. They didn't teach you that, my brothers and sisters. They didn't teach you the gospel. The scripture says that ultimately then, there should always be an expectation of a lawgiver among the sons of Judah. In other words, whoever is going to be king must be expected to walk according to a righteous rule. Until Shiloh, the King of Kings. Shiloh means the man of peace and to whom it belongs. Let me repeat that. Shiloh means the man of peace, the man who speaks the fullness of what is divine will. How about the gospel of peace? The gospel is a pure and complete word, pure and completion offering one choice, even as Yah is one. Shiloh is the man of peace then who declares the fullness of all that is the gospel, all the secrets of the truth that men so often refuse to fully consider. Unto whom it belongs. Oh, unto whom what belongs? Unto whom righteousness, peace. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Unto whom righteousness, peace, even dominion belongs. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, there is a scripture in Ezekiel 21:27 that says, I will overturn it, overturn it, overturn it. Three times it speaks of. Until he comes unto whom it belongs by right. Until Shiloh comes then. Most High said he will give. I hope you understand this, my brothers and sisters, dominion to him. It says then that there should be constant expectation of that great lawgiver until he comes to declare peace once and for all. And unto him should the gathering of the people. How about men must all in every nation be converted to follow after him. If they didn't teach that to you, my brothers and sisters, if they didn't teach you that expectation as an anti-exploitation mechanism, demanding that everyone who is a son and daughter of Israel to seek the fullness of what the Most High declared, that none be able to exploit them. They didn't teach that to you, my brothers and sisters. Something that the nations, rulers demanding that the people be subject to them. They didn't teach this to you. They didn't teach you what's necessary to overcome the world. They didn't teach you what's necessary to be free. It's time, my brothers and sisters, we understand. Scripture says the secret things belong to the Most High. Those things he has revealed belong to us and our children forever. And the scripture said in advance there will be a time of remembrance in the latter days. Read Deuteronomy 29:29-30 and understand. When the scripture says there should come a righteous scepter, Well, Numbers 24 speaks of it this wise. Become a star of Jacob, and a scepter should grow out of it. A scepter should come forth out of Judah. My brothers and sisters, what about Psalms 45 and 6? And understand all the expansion upon this word that is reflected throughout the scriptures. Sit that throne, O Yah, he's speaking of Messiah, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right or a righteous scepter. If you think that I have in any way disclosed this improperly, I would bring your attention to Hebrews, and I would tell you this also, the word for God that they put down there is also oftentimes a word used for king. Something to be taken into consideration. Hebrews 1 and 8, and it says, but of the Son, the psalmist said, most I said through the psalmist David, Hebrews 1 and 8, thy throne, O king, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a righteous scepter. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated all injustice, iniquity. Therefore, Yah, even the Most High, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness. How about the elders of his completion? All of his blessedness. All of his salvation, more than all your fellows. A brother and sisters unto an exceeding righteousness, to restrengthen the people of the Most High under the fullness of what the Most High intends. But how many of our brothers and sisters are prepared to discern what has always been the mandate of the Most High as a requirement of his people? How should Israel discern this covenant, my brothers and sisters? Most High told his people always to watch out for false prophets. I've told you the word for false means fallen, falling short, foolish, deceptive, seeming to be wise, but is not wise, not considerate of all the Most High has said. How should Israel discern this covenant unto sanctification of people made, let's just say, pure unto the Most High, under a holy covenant, a holy people, if their conscience are constrained and polluted and contorted, to trust in allegiances under rulers among Gentile nations who in their differences preserve hypocrisies against the perfect will of one. If Israel is under a multitude of rulers upholding partial standards, how shall they say they have a holy covenant? There's a reason why the scriptures talk about in Jeremiah 30:10-11 and Isaiah 60:12, the Most High intend to make a full end of whatever institutions of man, all nations, wherever his people have been scattered. You'll make a full end of whatever has been an obstacle against his people, discerning him as he is. Isaiah 25 talks about he will cast aside the veil that's over all the nations, covering this over all the peoples. It's the treacherous scepter of the rulers, my brothers and sisters. In fact, 2 Thessalonians, in context of Isaiah 40:14-5, talks about the wicked, the lawless. What has kept people under unrighteousness has been the scepter, the misrule of their leaders, who by no means intended to show forth the true mercy of Yah. What does he say? I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Yah more than burnt offerings. The mercy of the Most High, that he reveals to his people what is necessary that they walk true unto him. The gift of the Most High, the mercy of the Most High, since he will bring forth all that he has promised, he has upheld and will uphold no covenant that he is not author of. Therefore, the grace and the mercy of the Most High, that he reveals what is his will beyond all the misinterpretations and misadministrations of man. Till this day, however, falling victim to blinding, misruling entities in this world, not many among Israel have fully understood, and refusing to know the fullness of the law, not knowing how much we should be really seeking Yah, many in their pride refuse to acknowledge their treachery. The covenant less treachery against both Yah and man.
For all Israel is commissioned not to make a vow to Yah after any fallen standards, lest the adversary have dominion. My brothers and sisters, it's time to understand. I would call attention to something that really needs to be dealt with. I just like to relate a series of ideas in tonight's show. In Isaiah 44, many of you know the scripture, where it says, the Most High said, remember, remember. Let me see if I can find this, if I can pull the scripture up directly for you. Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44 and the, here we go. 44:21. Remember these things. Remember these things, O Israel, O Jacob and Israel. Most High says, you are my servant to serve, how about his will? He is the one who has formed his people according to his purpose. He called them to be his servant, to serve him. I find it amazing, but a lot of texts don't translate it this way, but it's obvious what the words really mean. It says, O Israel, from henceforth forget me not. Well, I can only tell you that many, some texts read that otherwise and says, O Israel, you will not be forgotten of me. I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, that in principle, both of the statements are true. Isaiah 49 even goes as far as to say, the Most High said he would not forget his children. But my brothers and sisters, Israel was commissioned never to forget the truth. He said, remember these things, O Israel, the beginning of the verse. Most High wants his people to remember his covenant, never again to forget it. Most High says that when his covenant is fully fruited, he says that his covenant shall not depart from your mouths, nor the mouth of your descendants, nor the mouth of your descendants, henceforth even forever. My brothers and sisters, Scripture says Messiah restores the knowledge of the covenant as it was from the beginning. You ever stop to consider those times of refreshing? The word kadosh in Hebrew, when they talk about new covenant, I'm telling you, that word for new there means to refresh, to make like new, to bring about a remembrance. So the times of refreshing is the times of remembrance of a covenant. Why would that need to be a remembrance of a covenant if man, after a multitude of rulers, has a covenant now? Jeremiah 30 through 31st chapter talks about the covenant being restored when the Most High brings his people back from the midst of all the variant rulers of the nations. And restores the covenant that he gave to Israel and Judah, that they be one people. So that he would write, describe, teach his law upon the minds and hearts, that we all be his people. I didn't say subject to a multitude of obtuse rulers. How about my brothers and sisters, that we have a covenant, that we have agreement, that we have peace? That's the promise of the Most High. Well, I would call to attention this verse at 44 and 21, 44:21 of Isaiah. Apostolic Bible Polyglot, for instance, one translation, says, O Israel, do not forget me. Remember, the beginning of the verse tells Israel to remember. How about remember and do not forget? What about the 2001 translation, O Israel and Jacob, forget not these things. So you, O Israel, must not forget me. That's another translation. Another translation says, in fact, they call this the, what do they call this? Just give you an idea about some of the Bishop's Bible. And this goes back to 1568, before the King James. Says, consider this, O Israel, Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have made thee that thou mightest serve me. O Israel, forget me not. Something very important about that key word. What about this scripture, my brothers and sisters, the Bishop's Bible? Again, we're talking about another translation, 1568, before the King James Version. It says, O Israel, consider this, O Israel and Jacob.
for thou art my servant. I made thee, thou mightest serve me. O Israel, forget me not. Oh, my brothers and sisters, to the Most High, restore to mind the knowledge of what is a covenant with him that men should forget. Something very important and powerful by this this an acknowledgement that comes with this understanding. The Brenton Bible says, "Do thou, Israel, not forget me." Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's time to realize, even in the Old English, when it says, "O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me," means you should not still relate that to the context. You know, that Israel should not forget Yah. The Darby translation, "O Israel, forget me not." Many translations, my brothers and sisters, relate to the idea that Israel was commanded not to forget the Most High, and that if he restores the covenant, certainly man was not Israel was not to forget. Mankind not to forget. Hebrews 10:26, it says, "Man sinned willfully." How about forget and turn away from the covenant? After receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no sacrifice to be offered for his sin. The sacrifice, the Messiah gave his life that men might receive the Holy Spirit. You say, if I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. Holy Spirit, that men might remember. So man is, how should men, my brothers and sisters, be made whole unto the Most High? Is if he receives the spirit of remembrance, the testimony of remembrance, and then forgets what he was ever taught. Shall he ever be made whole? My brothers and sisters, it's time we wake up and understand. Geneva Bible, "O Israel, forget me not." It's time we recognize the truth, my brothers and sisters, that where this verse in Isaiah 44 goes on and speaks to the one called the Kurdid. King James Version wants to call him Cyrus, but his kingdom was called Kurdistan for a reason. Kur meaning sun, tis meaning rise. Stand meaning land. How about the land of the east? When the Greeks came in, they translated according to their language, Anatolia, land in the east. Some put it down as per se Asia, land to the east. Well, there's something to be considered about this. The one who bore the title King of the East, one who was called the righteous one likened to the rising sun in the east that comes suddenly to cast out the darkness, to reveal the light the world seeks to obscure. My brothers and sisters, the one who brought Israel out of Babylon 2,600 years ago. This prophecy certainly has to do with this one. But I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, Messiah can say that he is the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, the one like the rising sun. Again, to cast out all the darkness, reveals the light the world would obscure, who exposes all the wickedness of the nations. That scripture, to understand his written offspring of David, bright morning star, needs to be looked at in the context of Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 says he comes a second time in the latter days, bring Israel back from all the nations where they've been scattered. Even, my brothers and sisters, as he gave Israel the right, if they would, to return, and all the land that the Most High had given him dominion over. Much to be explained concerning that. But we have to ask the question, who was it, my brothers and sisters, that brought Israel out of Babylon before? Scripture says, first he would deliver Israel from a Babylon east, and in the latter days, from a Babylon west. Isaiah 53 talks about him restoring the gospel. 52-53. And by his discretion, shall he bring justification or righteousness to many. And it talks about him as a suffering servant, one even who would be killed by the lawless, those who did not reveal the law among his people. But I tell you, remember 2,000 years ago, Rome had slaughtered all the priests of Israel and appointed a priesthood after their own dominion that even went as far as to say they had no king but Caesar. So you need to realize the hypocrisy of it all. Well, think about it. If the scriptures talk about this one saying, from henceforth forget me not. And Isaiah 59 says, this one will raise a standard first. It said, well, Isaiah 45 says he raised a standard from the east to the west, and the latter days from the west to the east. Still relating there's only one Most High. And it's something to be understood, my brothers and sisters. Those prophecies not only portend that the one that is spoken of is indeed the Messiah, because it talks about, my brothers and sisters, that men from henceforth will not forget the Most High. Israel shall be justified. Justifying the Most High even forever, it says in Isaiah 45. That pertains, my brothers and sisters, three appearances of the Messiah. Think about it. 2,600 years ago, and the scripture calls him his anointed. That means Messiah. Scripture says 2,600 years ago that he would come, and the scripture says finally he would set Israel upon a firm foundation. My brothers and sisters, set Jerusalem upon a firm foundation. I would tell you that Israel's rebuilding to that level was not accomplished in his lifetime 2,600 years ago. Didn't need to be in that respect, in a mere physicality 2,000 years ago. Scripture is actually in Zechariah 3:8-6:12. How about in Malachi? Scripture also even talks about the idea about him ruling as king, sitting as king and priest. He has never yet fulfilled all those prophecies. Do you realize, my brothers and sisters, those scriptures pretend that the one that is spoken of in Isaiah 44-5:45 relates him coming three times, that the prophecies might be fulfilled? Have men held on to this expectation the one called Shiloh would bring in everlasting peace? And if not, my brothers and sisters, men have defied, I repeat, men have defied and have not kept the covenant. I want you to consider scriptures like Isaiah 8-9. Scripture says Messiah, when he appears, will say, bind all the testimony and seal all the law. Put it all together. Said, whoever will not hearken to this law, this reckoning of the law according to this fullness. Scripture says they have no light in them. Then the scripture says, those who dwell in darkness, how about without the fullness of a light, have seen a greater light. Scripture says, calls him the Prince of Peace. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, that tells us that there's an obligation? Because it says that one will put away all war. That there's an obligation to seek the greater light. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters, that there's an obligation to seek the greater light when it appears? That is, again, my brothers and sisters, the coming of the one in Genesis 49:10 called Shiloh. How many are ready to understand that? If there's not the expectation of one to preach a greater light beyond all the nations, my brothers and sisters, what men have called being patriots has in so many ways been treacherous, even a false covenant, a false oath against the Most High. Isaiah 19 talks about when Messiah appears, they shall vow a vow to the Most High and shall perform it. Me, my brothers and sisters, for a long time, this is not what men have done. The scripture says they will finally know the Most High. How about know what is acceptable unto him? They'll vow a vow and perform it. The scripture says there'll be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Egypt is to the south of Israel, Assyria to the north. Israel a blessing in the midst or in the middle of the land. That's world peace. And Israel and Egypt to serve Yah. Israel. Let's just say Israel serve Yah with the Assyrians. And Israel, in fact, being the blessing. How about the foundation, the core, the cornerstone, whereby all nations shall be redeemed as his people? They didn't teach you, my brothers and sisters, to expect that. They compelled you to believe that what you have was a covenant after partiality. The Most High never said that the breaking of his covenant was an acceptable promise unto him. He said, if you're double-minded, not seeking his perfect will, he said, don't think you receive anything from Yah, certainly not the ultimate blessing. The times of refreshing that the scriptures speak of in Acts 3:18-23. The times of refreshing the scriptures speak of in Isaiah 28 is the restoration, the refreshing, the making like new, the remembrance of what is a covenant to a people, my brothers and sisters, scattered among nations, not discerning what a true, perfect covenant the Most High is. Blessed are they who will understand it. Blessed are they who are willing humbly to receive it. I can only tell you that 2,000 years ago, yes, the gospel, a pure, perfect word, went forth. But it's evident that even during the time of the apostles, that the nations were beginning to retaliate against that word of truth. Messiah said, you'd be hated by all nations for the sake of his name, for the sake of his gospel. Hey, 30 years, the gospel going forth. Rome retaliated and destroyed Jerusalem because they didn't want the word heard in the expectation of one, I repeat, of one unto whom all the nations must seek. One whose righteousness all the nations must seek, whose wisdom of the Most High after the will of one declared foolish all the varying standards of the nations. What I would have you to understand then, my brothers and sisters, the gospel did go forth to the nations, but very swiftly did Rome retaliate and begin to murder those who knew the truth. So I have a question to ask you. How much did man in the subsequent centuries, how much was man in the subsequent centuries since all the nations retaliated against the pure, perfect word and the rulers sought to constrain the words after the varying ideals of the nations, how much did man really return to the refreshing of a covenant? Scriptures talk about in Acts 3:18-23 that a time of refreshing must come. It means what my brothers and sisters, what men have called a covenant, not being the remembrance, the refreshing, the restoration of all things, has simply been a false righteousness that has not been a matter of men overcoming the world. Scripture said, watch out for the intrusions of the principalities and powers. How shall men, trusting in surreptitious taint, corruptions after the ways of men, how shall men, my brothers and sisters, say that they have been true to a covenant with the Most High after the taints of the devil? It's time to understand, my brothers and sisters, the Most High said that his people must overcome these misconceits. It says they will come one day and be appear to all mankind. All men shall know who he is. And scripture says in Isaiah 25, concerning him, say, this is the righteous one for whom we have waited. We will rejoice and be made glad in his salvation. He will wipe away all tears from off our eyes. He will cast aside the veil. How about the illusion that's kept men from not from discerning? How much they've been blinded, far from a covenant, from the midst of all nations. Not what everybody wants to hear. And scripture said in advance, the rulers wouldn't teach it. It's time, however, my brothers and sisters, that we recognize the reality. There's only a multitude of damnations and a multitude of variant rulers who themselves have no peace and don't know the way of peace and have commanded the people never to speak beyond variant national, political, social, and pseudo-religious unrighteousnesses. This has not been salvation. Scripture says you trust in a lie. How about the perversion against the truth, the obstacles that stand against the truth? Those obstacles, they have to be removed, it said in 2 Thessalonians. If you trust in them, my brothers and sisters, those who believe in those lies, those obstacles, every lie a man believes is an obstacle against discerning the greater dimension of truth. The scripture says those who believe those obstacles, those lies, those half-truths, those hasty perceptions of man, unrighteous, blasphemous, and insulting perceptions of man. Scripture did not say they'd be saved. It said those who have not a great love of the truth be damned. Those who believe a lie, it said, shall be damned. Those who have not having a great love of the truth could never be made whole, could never be saved. Those who seek to be justified after a lesser standard, my brothers and sisters, have already made a false vow and that they have not sworn themselves in allegiance to all the Most High declared. I can only tell you that Rome knew just how pertinently powerful was the command under the expectation of the one called Shiloh. Like I said, every bit as powerful as the command, you should have no other gods, no other standards, no other king, but that of the Most High. Every bit as powerful as the command to seek the Most High with all mind, heart, soul, and might, beyond all self-will, as a blessing that preserves the people. Just as powerful, my brothers and sisters, as those, as the command unto the expectation of one called Kurdi, the one called Shiloh. Rome knew that without the hope of a covenant restoration, a covenant refreshing, the remembrance of all things, the times of refreshing, the time when the covenant would be restored, most not even realizing that it was being a mystery to them that they were under unrighteous iniquities. Scripture talking about the mystery of iniquity. Well, the mystery of iniquity is subjection to a multitude of unrighteous standards, pollutions and partiality, seeming wise to men. That's not a covenant. Scripture says, those believe those things, multitude of partial standards, can they be one? Can a multitude of partial standards that cannot agree be one? No. If not, they are damnation. Damnation, by definition, is division. Salvation be made whole after the perfect will of Yah. What if my brothers and sisters have men been taught to exercise, if they exercise rebellion against the spirit of remembrance? The Rome knew that without the hope of covenant restoration and refreshing of all things, without the expectation, the people having the expectation by faith to seek Yah beyond all the double-minded dualities and pluralities of man. But believe me, a multitude of diverse standards, debate and doubt, not faith. Scripture says salvation by faith, that had been the will of one. Rome knew that without the expectation, or men being blinded to the expectation of the will of one, everyone was left exploitable and in bondage. And a people without the true covenant of the gospel, how could they be made whole? How could they be made one? Damn, my brothers and sisters, even in their allegiances to standards less than the fullness of the light, our brothers and sisters have been made adversaries against Yah and allies with the children of darkness. Faith, my brothers and sisters, that was created, the false faith that was created by the nations, preserving a multitude of differences, men being faithful to their differences rather than the oneness the Most High gives by His Spirit. My brothers and sisters, that was only a covenant under the defense of death. Read Isaiah 28. See what it says about the times of refreshing. After a word that is line upon line, precept upon precept, true to Yah, declaring that without that covenant, my brothers and sisters, those who resisted it, Scripture says, they only make their bondage tighter. So it'd be a terror and a vexation for many to understand the report that the standards they uphold insufficient, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says that covenant with death, how about a multitude of partial standards that can never be peace? Never be preservation of life and peace. Scripture says that false covenant must be annulled. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who understand that the initial word of the Most High is a cornerstone. But what does the Scripture say about it? Psalm 118 talks about a cornerstone foundation. That the builders, how about even say your church builders, have rejected. The prophecy said in advance, for brothers and sisters, that the expectation of a prophet to rule over all the nations, a prophet king to rule over all the nations. You don't know what I'm talking about? Check out my website, hiddengospel.com, early church origin, mutual expectation. Well, the expectation of that prophet king called Shiloh, inspired messianic king, messenger of the covenant, called Shiloh. Nations have not priested, my brothers and sisters, as is the obligation. But how could they? Could they preach the expectation of one who all would have to, what the Scripture say? Unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Could they tell the people that they were always to expect a ruler beyond themselves? Could they tell the people, my brothers and sisters, that they would expect one to prove the rulership of all men having been damnedly unrighteous? But my brothers and sisters, this was Israel was told to be a sanctified people, untainted, not perverted, not falling short after the fallen standards of various nations. It's time, my brothers and sisters, we understand that believers, as I've said before, under a multitude of different rulerships, it's not a holy covenant of peace. It's not mutual faith in Yah. So those who know what the Most High has declared, a time of refreshing which in which you will restore, refresh your covenant. Remember I told you that word for new means restore, refresh, make like new. The times of refreshing restores the covenant. And the only way you restore a covenant with the one Most High is that all the other diverse rulers that men have been subject to and their partialities must be transcended. Most High must prove their rulers foolish. The rulers of men will be foolish. He has to do it. Some folks will continue to believe the lies and the liar till misrule is no more. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that it is written. It is written. What I call the secret city prophecies. Tell folk to read these things closely. How the Most High intend to bring his people back to him. A lot of doctrine's been taught. Some of the biggest lies been taught to hide the greatest truths. Rapture doctrine, one of the biggest lies ever told to assure that people don't understand. Well, on last evening, I can only tell you this. I spoke a little bit about Hosea 11:6. Needs to be understood, my brother and sister, what's really said there. What it means, it said, the people take counsel together among themselves, and none at all exalt him. Zephaniah 3 talks about Messiah in the midst of the city reproving the people. But because they are lawless, have not had the expectation, they know no shame when a greater word is revealed. Well, I'd like to read this verse again about what the Most High said he must do. And please check out on my website, hiddengospel.com, the article, Secret City Prophecies. I promise you truly need it. He says, the sword should be like a whirlwind upon their cities, to consume their possessions. And he said, the people shall suffer because of their evil counsels. How about Isaiah 30, which said they take counsel, but not from him, and it's only to their confusion. They refuse to listen to the Most High because they're listening to their rulers. Most High has a controversy with his people. Same thing in Hosea 4. So my people are inclined to backslide from me. Oh, turn aside from him. How about turn after their rulers? The rulers who, in their hypocrisy, claim to worship Yah. But my brothers and sisters, for them it's only about a profession. They don't care about what the book actually says. It's about them having a profession to preside over a congregation to give the people... Like one pastor told me, if the people are willing to buy it, they're willing to sell it. You put and fill in the blank about what that it is. Though they call unto Yah, he said they take counsel together among themselves. They only want to be exalted according to what is was acceptable unto men. That none exalt Yah himself. So the scriptures are talking about Messiah here. And his appearing. He said, how shall I raise you up then, O Ephraim? How shall I bring you up beyond your sins? How shall I save you from the damnations you've trusted? He said, this is Messiah ultimately himself speaking to his people. Do I have to do you as I did Admah? Do I have to set you as I did Zeboiim? Those who know the truth, five city metroplex of Sodom, Admah, Zeboiim, and Zoar. When he said he destroyed Adam and Zeboiim, it means like he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Zoar was a city that the Most High, in the midst of the metroplex, chose to preserve, that Lot have an opportunity to run to a place of safety. Well, I can only tell you that there's a need to understand that too. Isaiah 16 talks about something that you'll find in the midst of these also these verses, as is written in Aramaic. You see, I send the son of the ruler. Send the lamb, say, talk to the nation, send the lamb to the son of the ruler, or the rock city of the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. Should be like a bird that changes his nest. Talks about moving from one part, one city on the earth, a city of confusion, to a city of peace. Again, that article, Secret City Prophecies, you really need. It says, what do I have to do to raise you up, to deliver you, to save you? O Israel? Do I make you have to make you like Admah and Zoan and Zeboim? A people, my brothers and sisters, seeing the wrath of the Most High according to all Scripture. Scripture says they would finally begin to turn their hearts toward him. Scripture says in Isaiah 48 that his people are sworn by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. I mean, he have to refine his people. Blessed are they who willingly hear and hear swiftly. He says when his people begin to turn back from him after they see the wrath that he puts upon the nations, upon the cities. He says, my heart is turned, will be heard, turned within me. And it's for them who would turn to hear him, to heed and obey. He said, my tender mercies are moved. He says, saved by grace through faith. How about the mercy that's allowed upon you when you turn to hear and hearken to obey him? Now, people may not be utterly destroyed. I think about scriptures like this in Isaiah 65. Say, when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen. Therefore, I will deliver you to the sword. And he talks about some not being destroyed because it's just like a cluster of grapes. Someone says, don't destroy because there's a good one in it. He says, you're going to preserve, my brothers and sisters, those which are good. But my brothers and sisters should be cast aside that which is not. He said, my tender mercy move, and my people be not destroyed. For I will not execute the fierceness of, how about this, the full fierceness of his anger. What does it say in Isaiah 48, 9 through 10? He said, for a moment he would defer his anger to give his people a chance to learn the truth. Revelation 7, 2 says that he would say to the angels of wrath, heard not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we seal the servants of Yah upon our brows, upon their brows, till he is confirmed a people, restored to the knowledge of a covenant that will hearken to him. Did he say that it would be to those who would not turn from transgression? No, my brothers and sisters, but those who turn from it. Read Isaiah 59 and understand. He says that he comes to keep the covenant of the Most High. He did not return to destroy Ephraim. Then he promised that he would deliver his people, but he had to deliver his people from an unrighteousness that they have long time trusted. For I am Yah, I am that I am. I am him who keeps his word. He is the promise. He is the oath. In other words, not mere man that he should lie. And he's talking about him standing in the midst of the people. He calls him, I am your Holy One. He says concerning himself, I am your Holy One. I will stay. However, let me say he will halt his wrath upon your cities. And because he has done what he has done, and men's hearts are changing, so will too his heart change to do men good. For he says, you shall walk after the Most High. You shall see his righteousness eye to eye. He shall roar like a lion, like a king. And because he shall roar, he says, his sons shall come trembling, how about reverently, from the west. That's that same prophecy in Isaiah 24, my brothers and sisters. 24, 10 through 16, talking about that city to the west, which he should restore his people. Same thing written in Isaiah 59, 19 through 21, saying that finally his covenant should not depart from the mouth of his descendants forth even forever. Scripture says in Isaiah 44, I repeat again, he would say concerning this one called the Kurdi, from henceforth forget me not. Between the time of the reign of the one called Surdi, the Kurdi, 2,600 years ago, yes, under Greco-Roman rule, after Rome killed all the priests, of course, all that occurred, Israel did need to be restored beyond hypocrisy to the knowledge of a covenant. Need to be brought to remembrance. That's why Scripture says the Holy Spirit seeks to bring all things to remembrance. Most High ultimately desires his people not ever for henceforth ever forget. Scriptures prophesy that occur in the last days. Wouldn't say that you've forgotten the covenant, there'll be need for to refresh it anew in your mind if after the nations you were taught the covenant at all. But he said in that day you should come fast like a bird out of Egypt, like a dove from Assyria. All my brothers and sisters, those scriptures in Isaiah and Hosea 7 as well, talking about a people. Did you hear me? Talk about people who have grown weak and weary in the concept of a covenant and refuse to know it. Treacherous against the covenant, saying, O our God, still yet we know thee. My brothers and sisters, Scripture says his people have set up kings, but not by him, Hosea 8. Do you not realize, oh, brothers and sisters, it means that a people who say that they are Israel, say that believers have forgotten the covenant? Or do you really think it's a covenant with the Most High, you have 45,000 different denominations out here? But the Most High said that he will restore his people, and he'll bring his people back to their dwelling place. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time we understand what the restoration and refreshing of a covenant is. It's going to take great humility on the part of those who do. I can only tell you that for all that men have not known to remember, there's much to be restored to mind, much to be refreshed. But I know, my brothers and sisters, there's so much that can be brought to mind swiftly to the heart that is utmost willing. We were forsworn to always seek the Most High for righteousness greater than what we see. Scripture says Messiah, Isaiah 11, will do this. And therefore he will discern the righteousness of Yah beyond all the rulers. One of my favorite psalms was the one in 119 where it says 97, give me more understanding than all the elder and the honorable, because I would keep thy commandments. One scripture says the Most High would speak to him and he would respond in this wise. Morning by morning as the Most High caused my ears to hear the teaching, and I have not turned back the rebellious way. That I should know how to declare a word to the weary. How about how to speak a word of strength in the knowledge of the covenant to my people? See, I'm not turning back the rebellious way. Think about it. 2,000 years ago, all the nations rebelled against the covenant. Has the world even yet had the full restoration of the covenant with Yah under the multitude of his differing rulers? No, my brothers and sisters, the time is refreshing that all seek the will of one. The time of refreshing, my brothers and sisters, where it says, unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear.
90 seconds.
You need to realize that's in Isaiah 45. There's a time upon us. Who will understand it in his time? Well, they tell me about, I just heard the warning, and I'd like to say something to you before, in salutation, before the show ends tonight. Let these words be a high contemplation in your mind, my brother and sister, tonight and through your sleep.
60
the Most
seconds.
High can do so many things when the heart is willing. I can only say I thank the Most High for every year that he brings near. I pray constantly for the awakening of our people. We must be able to agree. Amos 3 talks about how Most High said Israel is the people in which he has revealed himself. Therefore, he must reprove them of all their sins. How about every unrighteous standard after which Israel has walked? That men learn again how to agree. And again, it talks about what must happen at a city. Check out that article, my brothers and sisters, Secret City Prophecies, on our website, hiddengospel.com. Check out that article, Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. I promise you need every bit of it. Again, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for everything that he brings
seconds.
Here. I thank you all for listening. And to his might, to his honor, and his praise always, hallelujah! Messiah said, well, your righteousness must exceed that of your leaders. Else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. He said, well, if you fall victim to anyone who caused you to turn from the law and the prophets, you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. If anyone seeks to deceive his brother foolishly against the fullness of the covenant, that one is guilty unto hellfire. Blessed, my brothers and sisters, are those who discern what it means when it says salvation is not according to the diverse partial standards of men, but being made whole and complete unto Yah. It's by faith, exceeding faith in him. Let us seek his revelation. Let us be true to what is necessary. Be acceptable, that Yah might be with his people, be pleased.